Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. I'd like to welcome you to the Heal It Show, where we explore what it truly means to heal, not just the body, but mentally, emotionally, in all areas of life, and help us to really connect deeper to that inner intelligence that lies within all of us and connects all of us. You know, today's conversation lives at the intersection of science, consciousness, and self-awareness. We're talking about how your inner world shapes your physical reality, how stress, identity, belief, and meaning don't just affect how you feel, but how your body responds, repairs, and renews itself. We're going to explore why lasting wellness isn't about chasing fixes. It's not about chasing symptoms or taking tens of supplements or doing a bunch of protocols, but about understanding your unique design, honoring your natural rhythms, helping you to connect with coherence to the natural universe, and aligning your life with who you actually are. If you've ever felt burnout, disconnected, overwhelmed, stressed out, then I want to say this is going to be an amazing show for you. Because, you know, healing isn't something that you just push through and force, right? We all know that. Healing is something that happens when you finally align with yourself back to coherence. So I've been doing this a long time. I've seen people heal from things you'd never believe, right? Whether it be torn ACL, MCLs, whether it be back pains, whether it be cancers, whether it be brain issues, all just amazing things that we can heal. And, you know, I haven't said this for a while, but, you know, somebody tells you, you know, whether a doctor, a practitioner, a friend, or whoever it is, and says, you know, that can't be healed. Well, I don't know about your friends, but I know the practitioners. Go find one that understands how to heal. So don't take that as a, oh, yeah, this is the way it is. No, it may be the way it is for that person. Maybe they've done a lot of research in whatever the field is, and they haven't found the solutions. But I can guarantee there's somebody on the planet that can support you to change up what you are going through substantially. You know, all healing is a quest. It's a quest we get on, and it's really a quest of learning, because through the process, we have to let go of old ways of thinking. We have to embrace new ways of thinking. We have to start to understand who we are at our core level. And we have to start tuning into intuition in a greater way. You know, sometimes somebody says, oh, I got the solution, but you feel it's just not right. And you know it's not right. Well, you got to learn about these things. We have to grow, evolve, and become more connected with ourselves in many ways if you are to really heal. So that's my message today. All right. You know, even resilience, that one last thought, resilience, right? We all want to have powerful energy and feel great and be resilient, right? You know, but resilience is, it's not a trait, okay? It's not something you quote, I'm resilient. Well, you might be, but resilience is a way of understanding your mind, your body, your emotions, and how to align them so that you feel resilient. You feel like you step into this, you know, pain is a great motivator. We all know that. So if you're struggling right now, what is pain really? It's just a message that says we're going down the wrong path. We have to try a new path. So that's what the show is about today. I hope you're going to love this show. I've got a very special guest that I'm going to bring on right now, and is right after the break. So we'll take a break and then we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kim Foster. And as I promised, I have a very special guest, Karen Parker. Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. I loved your topic. That's why I wanted to have you on the show. So I think a lot of people can benefit from wisdom that you've developed over the years, and of course the new book that's out. For those of you that don't know Dr. Karen Parker, she's the creator of Quantum Human Design and author of Quantum Wellness, Healing Your Mind, Body, and Spirit with Human Design. With more than 30 years of experience at the intersection of integrative medicine, energy psychology, and human design, she blends ancient wisdom with modern science to offer a revolutionary approach to holistic healing and personal transformation. Global teacher, visionary, and author of over 100, oh, 100, over 10 books. Well, maybe 100 someday, Karen. Karen has trained thousands of students worldwide through quantumhumandesign.com and her chart generator at freehumandesignchart.com. Well, you've done a lot, Karen. It's really an honor to have you here. I've wanted to have you for a while, so here we go. Human design, let's just dive right in. What is human design?
So human design is a system that's a synthesis of Eastern and Western astrology, the Chinese I Ching, the Hindu chakra system, Judaic Kabbalah, and a little smidgen of quantum physics. What I like about it, though, is it's a tool using your birthday, birth time, and birthplace that gives you a map. It's a map that shows you how you process and how you use energy. But it's also a system that helps you reconnect back with the what I like to call the true story of who you are. Because oftentimes what happens is in the process of growing up, trying to be successful, trying to live life in the way that the world teaches us to, we forget who we are. We forget ourselves. We forget ourselves. I want to go back to your beautiful introduction. When we forget ourselves, we stop being resilient. And when we stop being resilient, whenever we encounter situations like pain or physical disruption in health and wellness, or disruptions even in our money and our relationships, that pain is really showing us that we've lost our resiliency and we've also lost our connection to our true self.
Well, I say that we have an identity crisis in the world. I mean, we really people think that their accomplishments or, their bodies or, their minds, they really don't really know who they are or what why they're here. And I think that really impacts us in a really negative way. What do you say? What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, when we bow down, well, I'll say, let's just keep it simple. Here's the problem. The problem is we have a way of measuring value in our world right now that doesn't really reflect our true value. We have learned, we're well trained, right, to measure value with numbers, and we have systems based around value, right, and numbers. We talk about our value in relation to how much money we have, how many years of education we have. If you're a woman, your value is dependent oftentimes on your age or your bra size or your waist size. We measure value and we codify it in this very numerical, sort of scientific way. And that metric has caused us to actually disconnect from our true value. And when we are creating from a place of trying to prove our value because we've internalized this numerical metric around value, then what we end up doing oftentimes is feeling like we can't be valued as we are, as the person we were born to be, fulfilling the story that only each one of us can fulfill. And instead, we try to spend, we don't try, we actually spend a lot of energy trying to be someone we're not, trying to measure up, if you will, to standards that actually cause us to disconnect from not only our value, but our right place in the world. And when we look at resiliency, you talked about resiliency in the beginning. We look at the measurements of resiliency. When I look at the research that I've done on what are the core components of resiliency, one of the core components of resiliency is how much do you value yourself? When you don't value yourself, you lose that resilience. And when you get confronted with any quest in your life, whether it's money challenge, a health challenge, you can't get over the quest. You can't get through it, and you get stuck, and you experience pain and
Oh,
destruction.
when you say value yourself, right? So, I want my audience to be on the same page here with us. What are you talking about here?
So when you value yourself, you have an innate inner understanding that being true to yourself, and that includes taking care of your body, setting good and healthy boundaries, making sure you're engaging in relationships that reflect your value back to you, that you're not doing work that devalues you in any way, that you're not compromising your authentic expression. When you live from that place actually increases your, it actually increases your resilience. It also increases your immune response. It keeps you in a state of coherence. And I think most importantly, it gives your life a deep sense of meaning and purpose.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think, you know, when we say value self, right, we a lot of times we're thinking about, well, I'll value my body, or I'll value my mind. I'm really smart, or I'll value, yeah. But we're talking something deeper here. We're talking about what I heard you say is aligning to your true self. And what is true self? Where are we at the essence of ourselves? Because all of us within us have this energy, this power, this possibility, energy, I guess it is, that we can, we have pure potential within us. But a lot of times that pure potential is limited and by the, you know, our past, our traumas, our dramas, our guilt, shame, remorse, our judgments of ourselves. And that all limits this pure potential that's within us. So how do we get back to that place and truly value what self is?
Well, I think the first thing that we have to do is we have to get back in touch with our compass, because part of what happens for us is we disconnect from our inner compass, mostly because of safety or because we can't really afford to follow it. So I always think about, you know, five-year-olds, right? Especially, I think it's a little bit different these days because kids go to preschool and they're in kind of in a school environment beforehand. But when I was growing up, and you turned five and you went to kindergarten, that was your first time in school, right? And you suddenly had to not be free to go out in the backyard and play. You couldn't just go to the playground. You couldn't do what you wanted to do. You started to have to learn, you know, to sit still, be quiet, follow the teacher, do all these things. And for many of us, that very initial experience caused us to have to shut down our body. Think of it. Here you are, you're five. You've had all this freedom, mm-hmm. sitting in this really hard, uncomfortable desk. It's a beautiful day. You're looking out the window and you can see the swings sort of gently blowing in the breeze, and you want to go outside and play. And you say, teacher, can we go play? And the teacher says, no, you need to sit down. You need to focus on your math. You need to do your reading. You need to do all these things that you have to do while you are in school. Well, the only way that some of us could survive, I would say most of us can survive, is we had to shut our bodies down. We had to shut down that natural communication from the body that often communicates with us through the through desire, right? That we had to shut that down in order to not go stark raving mad sitting in that really hard wooden chair. Now, when we have a lifetime of conditioning around disconnecting from the body, we grow up ignoring those inner cues and clues, or not knowing how to interpret those inner clues and cues that our body's giving us, until eventually at a certain point, the body gets so frustrated, it says, okay, you're not listening to me. So I'm going to throw your back out because I am not willing to play this game anymore, or you're not listening to me. So we're going to have this disease or this pain come up, because it's our body's way of basically saying, look, there's dissonance here. You are doing this thing over here, and great, it's giving you money. Awesome. But over here, you've lost your sense of meaning. You've lost your sense of purpose. You've lost your sense of your right place in the world. You're feeling disconnected. You've learned.
Well, you know, a lot of people are listening to this and are going, well, that was a big leap. Wait a second. So I'm not paying attention to who I am. Therefore, my back's going out, or I'm not paying attention. Now I have an accident, or I'm not paying attention and this is happening. So that's a big leap. And some people can't get that leap. So listen, we got to take a quick break. We come back and I want to fill in the gap from that what we're talking about here. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Well, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. I will be right back with my guest in just a second. I want to mention to you that if you're on YouTube right now, please go ahead and hit the subscribe button. But if you're not on YouTube, you know, we're building up that channel over there. So if you want to go to youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork, youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork, you'll be able to not only get all of our shows, you'll be able to pass those shows on to people that you care about and love. So we hope you'll do that. All right, back to my guest, Karen. Okay, that disconnect. Now, that's a big leap. Okay, I'm thinking things aren't right, and now I got a physical ailment in my body. How do we get there? How do we know that that's true?
Well, I would say we don't know that that's true just yet, because I would say this is really the leading edge of research. And so let's be clear that I'm a big fan of research, and I'm very excited about looking at research to actually show people that's actually true. But you said something that I think is really important that I want to bring us back to that helps us span that gap between that leap. You said pain is a quest. And I love that as a narrative, because when we strictly treat physical pain, which is what most of us are going to tend to do, right? You have an illness, you get sick, you're not getting over it, you go to the doctor, you get a pill. Usually what's happening in that treatment is we're not really getting healed per se. The disease isn't always being moved or removed from the body. What's happening is we're treating the pain. And when we're treating the pain, if we're not listening to it, if we're not seeing it as a quest, if we're not using this as an opportunity to explore what is my body trying to tell me, then what's going to happen is that pain is going to end up becoming a chronic condition, and it'll end up coming back in some way, shape, or form again and again and again. So, yeah.
And I will say this, okay, I've been doing these shows, you know, we've done over 500 shows now, and I've had enough scientists to come on here that have done that research that said, you know, a lot of them are saying now it's like 90%, 95% that the, you know, if you've got some baggage that you're carrying inside of you that you haven't dealt with, that's showing up in a physical experience. I personally have done my work. So I know this is true. Okay. This is not something we're making up.
I agree. And I'll say in the research that I've done, I looked at what happens to the body when we tell a story about an event that happened to us that left us feeling disempowered or victimized. And when we tell stories, and we all get stuck in those stories. We tell those stories all the time, right? We hang out with our friends, we have a glass of wine, we talk about that ex or that thing that happened, and we get stuck in these tape loops of stories. When we tell those stories, and we follow up with measuring your IgA levels, which is immunoglobulin A, and a marker of your immune function. When you tell that story, your immune markers go down. You start to decrease your capacity to combat illness. If you go back and you rewrite that story literally with a pen and a piece of paper as a creative writing process, and you rewrite that story in such a way that you are no longer the victim in the story, or you emerge from that story with a lesson or a blessing that you now use to catalyze yourself into a redemption arc and a season of growth, that when you tell that new story, when you read it out loud, we go back and we measure your immune markers, you actually improve your immune function and actually bring your immune response either back up baseline or...
Well, you know, so many people have those stories. I mean, example, I want to give my audience an example. Okay, you got a story that, you know, when you grew up, your mother was disconnected from your father. Your father was tough, really hard, and he was yelling at you and screaming. And, you know, my gosh, if you had my childhood, you'd never accomplish anything in your life. But look at me, I've got to this point. And then you say, well, wait a second, maybe I can rewrite that. You know what? My dad taught me a lot. He showed me how to do X, Y, Z. My mother, you know, showed me what not to do. They showed me what to do, what not to do. You rewrite that and you empower yourself. That's what we're talking about.
Yes. And I would say we are at a point where it's not just about self-empowerment. We also have to really, I would say, explode some limiting archetypes in our cultural story that we celebrate. Mm. So I'll give you an example. One of the things that we celebrate a lot in our culture is the idea of being a survivor, right? We even have TV shows about it. And when you start really taking that archetype apart And you speak about, okay, well, what is a survivor? You know, a survivor is basically I lived, right? That's a pretty minimal standard for how we move through a challenge, right? I lived, right? I always think about Harry Potter. Are you familiar with the Harry Potter books?
I am, yes.
Right. So yeah. Harry Potter has a nickname, right? They call him the boy who lived. Well, when did he live? Well, he basically lived at the point in time in his babyhood when he was zapped in the forehead by Voldemort, right? Right. Harry Potter's story doesn't end at that point, right? That's actually the very beginning of his story. There's a whole huge redemption arc in the Harry Potter story that happens after he survives this initial assault by Voldemort, right? And so in our culture, we tend to identify with the theme of being a survivor, which means a lot of us, I would say a lot of us, are ending our personal story about who we are, our identity, at the cliffhanger of our personal life story. And we, when we do that, when you start conditioning yourself, you're not just conditioning a cool story that you can tell to people, you're literally programming your nervous system and your immune function into a state of survival, which is a high stress, right? High adrenaline, high cortisol state that gets us stuck in tape loops of reactivity because we're hypervigilant. We're looking out for what is the next thing I need to survive. And on an energetic level, we're actually recreating that survival narrative because our brain is programmed to look for things to survive because that's part of our core identity. And we end up creating crisis after crisis after crisis instead of moving from survival to thriving.
You know, it's interesting. I'm flashing back on my own work. I had issues around money growing up. You know, my mother had a lot of, you know, she came from a very wealthy family. My father from a very poor family, and the poor family was very loving and kind and generous, and you know, so beautiful. I love my grandmothers and that side of the family. The other side of the family was very cold and calculating, so I kind of stayed away. So anyway, I ended up with some money issues. And at one point, my wife and I said, "Well, let's blow this out. This is old stories. Why don't we just start affirming? And there's more." That was it. Mm-hmm. It's those three words, "and there" or four words, "is more," "and there's more." And what happened over a 2-year period? So much started coming into our world. I mean, physical, you know, wealth, money, cars. We had to look at each other. We went, "We got to stop affirming this. It's just too friggin' much." But that's the power of the mind. That's the power we have to change things within ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's once we get on that and let go of those old stories. Mm-hmm. And I know one of the reasons I brought you on the show, because you have this amazing book out there. I got to put it on the screen here. It's called Quantum Wellness for my listening audience right now. Quantum Wellness, Healing Your Mind, Body, and Spirit with Human Design. It's Dr. Karen Curry Parker. You can get it on Amazon. And, you know, what we're talking about, these principles are in this book. So, Karen, I'm going to kind of switch up here. But, you know, when people read this book, what are they going to walk away with?
Well, what they're going to walk away with is a systematic way to start analyzing your story. You know, we talk about and we use terms like mindset all the time, for example. And yes, mindset is crucial and it's important and it's a key part of creating wellness. But when you start saying, "Well, you just need to change your mindset," it's like, "Well, what does that mean? Where do I start? How do I find a systematic approach to start taking apart my mindset, exploring my story so that I can begin to consciously reconstruct a story of my own choosing?" So I like to think of it as we need to go through a process if we're going to shift our mindset of decoding. First of all, where did that mindset come from in the first place? How do we get to this place, this story that we're holding? But once we decode it, which tends to be where we stop, we have to then also consciously recode it. And when we're looking at human design as sort of the framework to do that decode recode process, we're looking at a system that is basically a synthesis of ancient and modern archetypes, just parts of our human story. And when we look at your human design, you start to see that you are encoded to, I like to call it your soul curriculum, to have a curriculum to work with certain base or core archetypes over the span of your life. You're born into a story. And if you think about it, you know, your story is just a potential. And to understand how to really tap into that potential, you have to understand your story. And so this gives you a very systematic, layered approach to looking at how do we become more resilient and how to move past, you know, how do we step into the redemption arc and not get stuck at the cliffhanger?
Well, I want to take a little step back because some people are thinking, well, you know, my life's okay. I'm getting along. You know, my family's all right. They go through arguments. You know, I don't make a lot of money, but I'm okay. I'm getting by, and you know, and this is just kind of the way it is. And you know, I want to say this. Okay, I've been coaching people 30 plus years that want to step up to the next level in their lives, and what we always focus on in the beginning are results. Like, what are the results you're really getting, right? You know, is that, you know, on that relationship that, you know, with your significant other, your wife, your husband, you know, is that like a 10 or is that like a 5 or 6? Well, we're just getting by. We're okay. You know, so, you know, results leave clues, and those clues are our programming. Mm-hmm. And that's what Karen's talking about here. Sophie, it's like, you know, and I've worked with a lot of people, and, you know, if you can't decode, recode, then you know, it's like you wake up every day and your life is the same every day. Mm-hmm. You may think it's different, but really nothing's much going on. Mm-hmm. That's been my experience. How about yours?
I would agree. And I would say, you know, part of what happens is we settle for mediocrity, which is actually a form of burnout. And when we internalize that mediocrity as like, well, I'm okay, you know, yeah, okay, you're not in pain at this moment. But the question, there's a couple things I would throw out. First of all, if you've settled for mediocrity, are you really not in pain, or have you numbed it out? That's always the first question, because oftentimes if we dig a little bit deeper, what we find is that when people say, yeah, it's okay, it's not really, but we've learned to make it okay because we don't know the way out.
Well, if you have a dream that you've had inside for a long time, and you buried it because you're like, oh, I don't know how to do this, it won't happen. That's part of that pain that Karen's talking about right there.
Totally, absolutely, and I think, you know, when you've settled for less than, and you have, let's say you've compromised on that dream, you know, you're missing the potential that you could be moving towards. And, you know, again, I don't think you can hide in mediocrity and, you know, eternally. I do think that hiding out in mediocrity eventually has some kind of signal, because we're not designed, even our biology, we're not designed to settle for less than. We are designed to be challenged. We actually grow from challenge. We're designed to stretch. And really what I see again and again and again is when we settle for less than, it's almost, and this is scary for some people, but I just want to just say there's a blessing here if you can roll with it. It's almost guaranteed that at a certain point something is going to get disrupted, and it's either going to be your health or your body or your partnership or your money or something. In fact, I would even argue, Ken, that part of what we're seeing in our country right now is a disruption that's happened because we have collectively lost connection to our purpose and meaning, and we've settled for less than who we could be.
Well, you know, Marianne Williamson wrote a book years ago, Return to Love. And I just remember that, you know, that one of the quotes in that book was, you know, we're not afraid of our, you know, we're more afraid of our light than our darkness. I'm just paraphrasing that. But we're really afraid of that light, because that light, it lives in all of us. Mm-hmm. And that light takes courage to put into the world. Mm-hmm. And I know this. We all have, fingerprints. We all have eye prints, right? Now, they all have our DNA that's unique to us. We all have a unique contribution to the world. Mm-hmm. And when you bring forth your unique contribution, whatever that is for you, not only do you feel wonderful and it gets you feel empowered, you get connected to everything in a greater way. And again, it's a quest, you know, that those challenges we have health-wise, mentally, emotionally, physically, those are all there to help us understand who is the presence that's the divine presence that's within all of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. I agree. And I would say pain is the barbed wire fence on the life path. Yeah. And when we start to fall off that path, we get poked. And the purpose of that is to get us back onto the path.
It's our purpose to get us back on the path. And I know that when Dr. What's his name? Yeah, he wrote a book, Power versus Force, 25 years ago. And he, yeah. Stephen Hawkins, right? Yeah, he, you know, and he measured consciousness. And, you know, and he found that, you know, fear is where 80% of the people on the planet live. Mm-hmm. And the next energy, vibration, frequency above that is courage. Mm-hmm. And so that's what it takes. It takes courage. Like for my audience right now, I'm just going to tell you, it takes courage right now to stop what you're doing, stop, pull over the side of the road, whatever, do whatever you need to do to make a note, put it in your calendar to go buy Quantum Wellness so that you, you know, if this is resonating with you, it's like, don't let it go away. How fast does it go out of your mind? Go buy it right now. I don't, I want you to watch our show, but I, you know, I want you to go get this book because this book will help you to decode, recode, and reestablish a new standard of living for yourself. And what happens when you do that, it's happened in my life and sure it's happened in your life, Karen. When you change, your family changes. It's bizarre, but they change and they start showing up differently. It may take a day, a week, a month, 5 years, but if you stay on the path, they change. It's amazing. So, you know, it's like, it's be the change you want to see in the world and other people start to step into that. That's been my experience. All right, I got to take a quick break. When I get back, I want to talk about, you know, let's just talk a little bit about some of the things that stop people from moving forward in this world in a greater way. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK House Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Kendi Foster. You're on the Heal It Show, and you are speaking. I'm speaking with Dr. Karen Parker. And Karen, it's interesting, you know, so many of us, well, we got all the information. I've set my goals. I know what I'm going to do. And, you know, even like New Year's goals, right? We just passed it, you know, the 3-week mark where 80% of the people stop with their goals, right? what is that? What is that? Like we go, yeah, we're going to do this. I want to go. And now, and all of a sudden it's out of your mind and you're on to the next thing. You'll wake up a year down the road. And you go, yeah, I think I'm going to set that goal again.
And again, and again. Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that we have to look at is there's dissonance when we set goals, and that dissonance, first of all, it creates a believability gap. And when we have that believability gap, our nervous system is going to default to the old story. So we build stories. Anytime you go through life, you've got stories that you actually inherited that are encoded on a genetic level in your cells. You have life experiences. Those cause you to make decisions about who you are. And what really happens is over time, we internalize a story, most of us, that says it's not okay or safe for me to be who I am or how I am, or it's not valuable for me to be who I am or how I am, or I won't be loved for being who I am and how I am. And when we encode that, what happens is we start to build protective responses anytime our authentic self either starts to emerge or anytime we try to grow and expand. Because what most of us have as our core experience is the experience of being authentic, right? And we show up in all of our brilliant 3, 4, 5-year-old or older selves. You know, we express ourselves in the world and we're told, hey, don't do that. Hey, be quiet. Hey, you can't say that in public. Hey, you need to sit down, be quiet. You need to follow the rules, right? We learn to hide that vibrant part of ourselves. It's a strategy that we learn to survive. It's a strategy that we learn to follow the rules of success in our world. when we internalize that message, it's not okay or safe or valuable or lovable for me to be who I am and how I am. And we start to make goals that would force us to have to step out of that hidden space and actually start to reveal this bigger, more expansive part of ourselves, our body and our nervous system in particular starts to react defensively, right? We learned it's not safe for us to be who we are. So when we start to grow out of that old identity, our nervous system and our body says, no, wait, you can't do that. That's not safe. And when we look at, this is part of why I love human design so much, because there's a correlation in human design between archetypal themes and parts and pieces of the body. So when we look at the archetype of what's called the gate 26, which in Chinese, I Ching correlates to the 26 hexagram, which is the theme of integrity. And that's the theme of not just moral integrity, but structural integrity, meaning when we're expressing ourselves in a way in the world where we are structurally aligned between our authentic self and how we show up, then we're living in a place of high integrity. Well, that place of integrity is associated with the thymus, which is actually part of your immune function. And when we have chronic issues with the thymus, we tend to have autoimmune disorders. We get sick more easily. You know, our immune function doesn't operate optimally. And so when we've gotten into patterns of hiding and hiding and hiding that authentic self, we actually cause the body to decrease in its immune response again. And it causes us to do things that self-sabotage those bigger goals because it's keeping us safe, right? We don't want to grow because if we do, we're going to reveal ourselves and then we're vulnerable.
Interesting. You know, I think here's something I want to throw into this conversation. Listen, it's not easy. Okay. This is my belief. It's not easy stepping in and accomplishing your goals, some of the big goals. Okay. It's not necessarily easy to watch what you eat and exercise and go to the gym and work out and all. That's not easy. But you know what? It's not easy having chronic issues in your body, having pain, being on medication, seeing doctors all the time. That's not easy either. So you get to choose, and maybe I need to reprogram that. Maybe
I was going to say.
But you get to choose which side of the equation you want to be on. You want to be on the thriving side and health and vitality, or you want to be on the other side. I just want to throw that out there.
No, I agree with you that it isn't easy. And I would say when we tend to focus on the behaviors, right? When I go to the gym, when I budget, when I, you know, start using money in a way that's more intentional, when I improve my relationships, when I stop yelling at my partner and consciously take a breath before I say something or to my kids, right? Those things are not easy per se when we're adjusting the behavior. What makes those changes easier is when we stop trying to tackle the behavior and the habits and the external causality, and we move that shift more onto the internal plane first, which is what we call mindset, but it's really more than mindset. We have to actually change our identity. We have to first, before we make those changes, become the person that's capable of making those changes. And I would say that's where we have to begin our healing journey. We have to recover our inner sense of lovability. We have to recover our inner sense of value. We have to become internally empowered. We have to cultivate internal courage. We have to learn to rebuild our relationship with our body so that we do trust the body's response and we begin to trust ourselves. We have to find that place where we discover that it's way more fulfilling to be authentic than it is to hide out. We have to learn how to make decisions in a totally different way that are more intuitive.
100%. You know, some people, I know I'm guilty of this. You know, I'll get to a place and I've realigned myself, my identity, everything, things are going well. And then I'll self-sabotage. I'll be like, and then I think, well, what was that energy, that feeling that all of a sudden... And the self-sabotage I know in my life in the past has come from a place of, everything's good. I'm going to just give myself a break and do whatever I want. That's the saboteur, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to just staying on a nice, easy keel, right? A nice, easy path. Why do we do that?
Because it's safe. Even though it feels like, oh, I just blew everything up. And you think, oh, I screwed up or whatever. It actually is safer. The nervous system, I want to be really clear because sometimes I think we think of this as sort of being a will issue or a gumption issue. And it's not. It's actually our nervous system is encoded to keep ourselves in this hidden space. And probably the hard thing, if we want to talk about what's the hard thing is to learn how to make these shifts and simultaneously reassure the nervous system that it's okay, it's safe. You're going to grow and it's going to be safe. You're going to grow and you're safe now. And that's a huge important message we have to learn to give ourselves when we go through these big transitions.
Interesting. Yeah. New identities, like you just met, new identities sometimes don't feel safe, but we know inside of us, there's this place that says, this is who I'm becoming. This is who I'm choosing to be. And you know what? You do whatever it takes to get there. One of the things you can do right now is go get Quantum Wellness, Dr. Karen Parker. And you can get it on Amazon and wherever books are sold. So we hope that you'll pick that up. Karen, thank you so much for being on the show. This is very enlightening. I think a lot of people have grown. Final thoughts.
So I have a lot of kids. I have 8 kids and we've always had dogs and cats. When you do a puzzle in our house, it was about a matter of 10 seconds before pieces went missing. Or I had one kid that would tear off the little nubs and try to jam the piece in the wrong place because he got frustrated. You know, a puzzle is only as beautiful as the sum total of the pieces. And if you think of humanity as being like that puzzle, we all have our right place in our right space. And when we rip off parts of ourselves to try to fit in somewhere where we don't belong, or we even go missing off the board, you still might think it's not important, but actually one of the greatest gifts you can give the world is for you to find your place and fill it with all your might.
100%. You know, everybody out here has a unique gift that you're contributing to this puzzle of the world. So hope you'll find it. Karen, thank you again for being here. And I just want to thank everybody that's watched this show. This show is a show that can really help people to grow and learn and nurture. So we hope you'll pass these shows on to people that you care about. And thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.